Some people say the first drive of the season is a good indicator of how it's going to go. We hope that's the case because that was a great first drive. Welcome back to Who's Talking. Jim Hopgood here, Frank Maloney to my left. Don't forget our phone number, 345-0910. Call in, comment, question. We'll have Ahmad Hawkins at the bottom of the hour. But in the meantime, we have the LeClaire Ryan play of the game brought to you or spoken to you by Frank Maloney. And it is a football play today. After last week's exhibition soccer play of the game, we're back to football.
Thank goodness. All right. Our play of the game, sponsored by LeClaire Ryan. We've chosen the men's football game last weekend. In the fourth quarter, UVA's cornerback Chase Minifield, who is in the game in place of Razai Dowling, who is out with a pulled hamstring, kept his eyes on the ball on a deep pass play and left his man and broke on the ball deep in the UVA end zone, made a nice interception, looked around, realized no one was around him, turned around, headed upfield, and just motored, seemingly as if nobody was even paying attention to him, and he ran all the way back to the 29 of University of Richmond. Unfortunately, there was a push or something in the back during the play that was sort of nebulous, I thought, and they had to move the ball back to the 40-something, but nevertheless, all hopes by Richmond fans of a comeback ended right then and there. I think Aaron Korb was looking for his man to break long, and the receiver sort of broke the route off to the outside, and Minifield just followed the flight of the ball and ran it down as if he was the wide receiver. But anyway, Minifield makes a huge play, and maybe a little bit of justice there in that he dropped the interception against William Mary last year in the first game that could have had a huge impact in that game. So
now, question. Minifield is on. He would start regardless, right? Whether Razai. No, he's on.
He's Razai's backup.
Wow.
He would be playing, I think, in the nickel and dime situations. He might come on the field. Certainly a player that has got some skills, and we're going to see more of him because I don't think Razai's hamstring is 100% yet.
No, and hamstrings, and we'll ask this of Thorpe Davis later in the show, but hamstrings tend to be nagging injuries, so you got to be careful how quickly you come back from that.
Anyhow, an exciting play and certainly one that turned out to be the seventh longest interception in UVA history in terms of the return yardage. So very excited to see Chase Minifield sort of snagged that that interception and make such a nice run back.
And the one positive of this year's opening game, only one turnover by Virginia, the fumble early in the game by
Dontrell
Inman, as opposed to the seven last year against William and Mary.
Yeah, you know, if you can keep your team to only one turnover or no turnovers, you're going to stay in the game, assuming your punters and your kickers can kick effectively. And that'll be a big deal this coming week against Southern Cal for sure. All right, Ahmad Hawkins will be joining us in just a moment. I've had the pleasure recently of spending a little bit of time with Ahmad at Alumni Hall this past Saturday at the Chalk Talk, which was a very nicely attended event in Charlottesville, about 90 minutes to 2 hours prior to kickoff. And we had a good crowd there, and Ahmad fielded questions from the audience as well as from yours truly, and It was a lot of fun. Ahmad is a very personal young man. He played at UVA from 1997 to 2000. He played wide receiver in his early years, and then he switched over and played defensive back in his later years, where he even led the team in interceptions in 2000 with four INTs. But he's most well known for the unbelievable catch and run that he made up in Blacksburg in 1998 to solidify the comeback and to give us the go-ahead touchdown that beat the Hokies. As he likes to say, he came in the game with the play, and Aaron Brooks, the Virginia quarterback, looked at him in the huddle and said, "It's coming to you." And he thought he was kidding because there were a lot of Thomas Jones was in the backfield, and he goes out in the pattern, and Terrence Wilkins was one of the star receivers. And sure enough, Aaron dropped back, looked across the field, then cut his eyes laser left quickly and fired a rocket to the left sideline and right in front of the Virginia bench. Ahmad had no chance to do anything but catch it because it almost broke the grill on his mask. And as he likes to say, he had to catch it, otherwise he might have been decapitated. But
wow,
he caught the ball and somehow he tightroped down the sideline, and the Virginia bench was waving him down the sideline, and he ran to the corner of the end zone. And in one of the most famous poses in any picture in UVA football history, he knelt down in the end zone, looked at the sky, and held his hands up in the air. And you can still see that silhouette on the Sabre.com's website. Because
now, that was that the game they came from way behind?
Oh, my goodness, 20-some points.
Yeah. On the road, very impressive.
On the road against a very good Virginia Tech team. Anyway.
And Aaron Brooks, who we had in studio one of our shows last year, very impressive individual on his own right.
Certainly a great moment, to say the least. But
Virginia has had only one other win in Blacksburg since 98?
No, actually, that was the last
victory. The last win?
That's the last victory in Blacksburg.
That's right, because they won in Charlottesville since then, but that's it. But, I think we do have Ahmad on the line as we speak.
Thank goodness Jesse didn't give up catching up with Ahmad here. Ahmad, you there, buddy?
Yeah, man. I'm sorry we ran over practice a little bit.
It's okay. We're glad that you could join us tonight. We already talked about your great catch down there in Blacksburg, and we talked about your four interceptions, your fourth year in Charlottesville. But good to have you with us. Let's go straight to a few questions. You know, Ahmad, having played wide receiver and defensive back, you have sort of an unusual perspective on the Virginia program, and having attended the game on Saturday night, just what are some of your general thoughts about the defensive backs and the wide receivers for this year's UVA football team?
I think those guys played aggressive. They actually impressed me, especially the receivers. Chris Byrd, with just his ability to stretch the field, catch. I think he caught a couple of deep balls. And Minifield, he really impressed me like he always does. He got a pick, and he played aggressive. He showed guys he'd come up and have a little pop, a la Anthony Poindexter. So I just like how those guys flew around, and they made plays when they had to.
What about Mark Verica? I think the consensus is that he had a really, really good start to the season throwing the football.
Yes, I really like what they did with Verica, getting him on the edges, just letting him get his timing down by throwing quick timing routes, and then finally letting him show off his arm strength and throwing the ball down the sideline. I think he made a crisp throw to Chris Byrd down the sideline. So, like I said, he can be accurate. It's just his decision-making that can sometimes hold him back.
You know, it's interesting, Ahmad, if Dontrell Inman held on to that ball down the Virginia bench sideline, which was about a 35- or 40-yard pass, Verica would have had over 300 yards in completion yardage in that game. What do you think of Verica's chances going up against Southern Cal, and for that matter, the Virginia receivers going up against Southern Cal, particularly in light of the fact that USC gave up a ton of yardage to Hawaii in the air this past weekend?
Well, I think it's a confidence booster, like you said. When they watch the film, they're going to see that Hawaii, you know, kind of exposed the defense. But with that being said, they have another week of preparation. They're going to fix those mistakes. They have Monty Kiffin. So, you know, they're going to see the Tampa 2, which is a cover 2 with the middle linebacker really sprinting down, really dropping a little deeper in the middle of the field, between 12 to 15 yards. So it's holes in that defense in the mid-range window for dig routes and 12-yard seam routes. So if Verica can get his timing down, good decision-making, don't get caught up in the USC mystique, and just know and get confidence they can move the ball against that defense, I think they can have a chance to pull off an upset if they just play within themselves.
Ahmad, let me ask you a question, and as Frank always reminds me, I'm a basketball guy, but you mentioned cover two. For the lay people, including Jim, explain in simple terms exactly what a cover two is.
What's that again?
What is a cover two defense? I hear that terminology all the time. Can you explain it without getting too technical?
Yeah, well, cover two defense just allows the cornerbacks to be aggressive with the receivers. They try to get a jam within 5 yards. They want to force the receivers inside because they have a linebacker dropping in the hook to curl zone off the hashes between roughly 8 to 10 yards. And the corners will only drop as deep as the inside receiver runs. So if the inside tight end runs a seam route, the corner route was the key to get depth, but they would stop at what they call the dead zone, meaning 10 to 12 yards down the field. The safeties have halves. So the field is just broke up in halves. You have the safeties have the deep halves, and the corners have the short flats. Then you have the three linebackers. They break off in the hook curl zone. Now, so it's just a different way to just change up the timing of the offense.
Is that a defense that Virginia ever uses?
No, we usually run like a cover four or a cover three type defense because we have good man-to-man corners. You usually run a cover three when you have big, aggressive DBs like when we had Chris Cook. We would run cover a hybrid type of cover two last year where one side would be a deep zone and his side would be a short, flat zone. But Virginia usually runs like a lot of man-to-man and a lot of cover four where their safeties can come up and make plays.
Has that always been the case, or is that a Mike London defense?
That's more – even when I played corner, we mostly play a lot of man-to-man. That's just Virginia because Virginia's known to have aggressive safeties. So, you know, you can't take a guy like Anthony Poindexter and ask him to run a cover two because it's taken away from his strength. When you run cover two, you're basically telling the defense you have very rangy safeties who could get from the hash mark all the way to the sideline. They could cover a lot of ground. I doubt it when Polamalu was there, you know, the different defensive coordinator, they didn't run too much cover two because they wanted him down in the box. So that's what you basically do. If you have two good rangy safeties, you run cover two.
Ahmad, this is Frank. Looking at a couple of the surprise stars in the game, I thought Leroy Reynolds was extraordinary at playing at linebacker. Mm-hmm. I thought we had a terrific performance by, obviously, Minifield. Cam Johnson seemed to be breaking out and demonstrating that he can give us a good rush off the edge. What else did you see from the defensive side of the ball?
Basically, what you said, I just think those guys just played within themselves, played the scheme of things. Like you said, Reynolds, one thing about that guy, you can't run away from him. If you try to run away from him, he's going to run the play down from the back C gap. And so he showed a lot right there. I mean, for him being the weak side back and showing you he can run the ball down from the weak side is a huge plus because it's allowing that defensive end to stay home, and he's doing a lot of the work. Chase Minifield, if he continues to improve like he does, and Razzar just gives us what we expect of him, oh, man, we could bring the safeties down and really get after the quarterback.
Ahmad, I think we've got a call on the line. We're gonna put him through now. This is Billy. Billy, go ahead with your question for Ahmad Hawkins.
Yeah, first I want to say that catch he made against Tech will forever be remembered. And I don't know if he's mentioned it or you did your homework or Jim. Ahmad, I think, chose Virginia over Tennessee. Correct me if I'm wrong. Oh, he's not there.
Ahmad, did you hear the comment relative to did you choose Virginia over Tennessee?
Billy, I think we just lost Ahmad.
Okay, well, we'll get back.
We're going to try to get him back on the,
okay,
on the phone.
Okay, and then I want to put a plug in for my wife, who has four former students on the team. That may be a first for anybody. She's got the two Snyder kids, Connor Davis, as well as Billy Scroback. So she's got four kids on the team at one time.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I believe Jake Snyder got his first game action last week.
Yes, he did.
And, of course, Matt Snyder has been playing at different times and even got a start last year under Groh.
Looking at the scholarship. He's on scholarship now as a former walk-on.
That is correct. I was aware of that. And we're looking for Matt to sort of break through now, being the big, tall possession receiver that we're looking for. I think have we got Ahmad back? I think we're trying to bring Ahmad back.
Having a few technical difficulties here, but Billy, of course, Billy's wife, Faye, teaches at Deep Run High School, for those that don't realize that all the Snyders come from Deep Run High School, along with the governor's kids and others. And I think the Governor McDonald's twins are at Virginia this year, I believe, one of whom is playing soccer.
Right, one of the twins are playing. We're very excited about the performance, I think, of the defense in that game because they did not have two of the starters. You know, to take a safety out of the equation and Rodney McLeod, who has got a lot of speed, a lot of lateral speed, and also to have your Jim Thorpe watch list top-notch performer in Razzar Dowling, who's supposed to be leading the defense, being held out with his hamstring.
Well, it'll be interesting this weekend. Of course, I'm a big Mike London fan, but I'm also a really big Jim Reed fan, and I think Jim Reed's going to do terrific things with that defense all year long. We have Ahmad back on. Ahmad, are you back with us?
Yes, I'm back with you.
And I don't know if Billy's still with us, but we had a caller that made reference to the fact that you chose Virginia over Tennessee, and he wanted you to confirm that.
I actually chose Virginia over University of Florida.
That's wow. Just as good. Southeastern Conference school.
Yeah.
Ahmad, tell our listeners a little bit about what you do today in addition to your arena football exploits.
I actually work for a company called the New Wildcat, and it's a day treatment service. And I actually work with kids with behavioral problems, and we try to just get them on the right path. We make up treatment goals for them.
So you're serving a number of different schools. Is that basically the gist of it?
Yeah, well, I'm actually the site supervisor at my site, and we're at Buford Middle School, which is close to and proximity to UVA Hospital. And we have a team in Charlottesville High School and Henry Learning Center here in Charlottesville. And there's a lot of teams in the Richmond area and the Tidewater area.
Ahmad, I think that's fantastic. I know a number of years ago, I want to say maybe back in 2007, I believe you were named the Defensive Player of the Year in the Arena Football League. Give their listeners a little bit of a feel for what that was like.
That was an awesome feel because it was actually 2 years after we won the Arena Bowl when I was playing for the Colorado Crush, which is based out of Denver, Colorado, which was John Elway's arena team, and I was abruptly cut in camp, and I had one of my best camps ever. And I got picked up by a team in Tennessee, which was owned by Bud Adams, the Nashville Cat, who's the owner of the Tennessee Titans. So we actually practice at LP Field every day and at the bubble. So it was just cool, just practicing in front of NFL scouts every day. And the funny thing was, if Pac-Man Jones wouldn't have gotten the trouble he got into, it's ironic, if he would have reported to camp, they were going to sign me also. But when he got in that trouble, they actually signed Nick Harper to a big free agent deal. So even though I had 13 picks that year, I actually still never got back in the NFL, which was fine because I was comfortable and blessed that I was still playing professional football and making a good living.
Well, we have been joined by former Wahoo great Ahmad Hawkins. We're going to go to break in a moment, but Ahmad, thank you for joining us. Again, we'll certainly have you back on during the football season to get your insights, but thank you for your time this evening.
Thanks for having me on. Anytime you guys want me on the show, I really feel honored and blessed to be a part of this.
Absolutely. Best of luck. God bless you. We'll be back after this commercial break with Thorpe Davis, right?
Right.
From West End Orthopedic.